Amen. Thank God. Come on, give the Lord another hand. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Come on, you can do better than that. Give the Lord another hand. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Come on, you can do better than that. Give the Lord another hand. Amen. Thank God. Glory be to God. I know y'all guys, hey, and they had 1 million people over here yesterday and the cruise thing. And they're shouting over those cars, which one day gonna rust out, right?
Amen.
So they're gonna those 1 million people in from what, 8 miles through 14 miles, what, in a span of 6 miles, 1 million people through here. Now if they can praise, if they can get happy over something that's gonna perish, amen. What more can we be happy about? Amen. Thank God for His grace. And yeah, let's continue to pray for our pastor. I talked with him briefly, and love you, Elder Nichols, but get ready for a man of rebuke, brother. The pastor asked me, is Elder Nichols in here? I said, yeah, yep, yes, pastor. He said, oh, well, amen. So just get ready, brother. Amen. But thank God is good. God, thank God is wonderful. Amen. We can get right with the Word of God. You ready for the Word of God today?
Amen.
Let's get right started and thank God for all our visitors here, and just thank God for everyone here as we move on in the workings of God. Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your goodness, your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for being so good. We thank you, Lord, for just, oh God, the workings of God. And those mighty workings that you have bestowed upon us as members in your glorious body. Father, we thank you. We thank you for everyone here, Father. We ask that you would breathe upon everyone here according to your will, even those that are not here, Father. Oh, God, we ask that you would strengthen our pastor, spirit, soul, and body. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all those here, all the loved ones here. Father, thank you for, in the absence of my mom, Gulo, and Aunt Marvelline, Father, we ask that you would bless and strengthen them in a special way, Father. Lord, right now, energize your word, God. Let everything be done. Let everything be said point to Christ. Let everything point to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, Father, right now, we thank you, Lord. Let everything out of God, it's not of the Spirit of God, let it go be decreased. But that Christ may be magnified in our spirit, souls, and body. We thank you for the word of God today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful and majestic name, let all the people of God say, amen and amen. You know, thank God. As we get ready for to minister today, you know, it's one thing about the Word of God. The Word of God, how many of you know that the Word of God is our life? The Word of God is our everything. The Word of God is our substance. And everything that we have, saints, every move we make, every motive, everything should be focused on Christ. And if it's focused on Christ, it's focused on the Word. Because you can't separate Christ and the Word. John got that revelation, even though he was not, he did not write in terms of our gospel, but John was around so long that he picked up some of the information from Paul, and he said, what, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And you know, if you look at the Word of God, and if you look at Christendom today, there are so many things that you can say, quote, either doctrines or so many things that are preached or taught that you can call that divided the Bible, God's people. So many parts of the Bible. You can name so many things that they are fuss and fight over. By the way, they've been doing it for 2,000 years. It's always going to, there'll be no total unity until God comes back. Because Jesus comes back. Because as long as you have people that's in these depraved bodies, you're going to have fussing and fightings and all of that. And if you look at the different things over the years, I mean, they have fallen water baptism. In other words, if you're looking at, you can even break that and demarcate that down in terms of, where some say, well, if you're not even baptized, you're going to hell. Amen. They fought for 2,000 years over that. Amen. And then some have even said, well, some that even believe in water baptism, they've taken that one dimension further. And they'll say, if you don't be baptized in this way. I mean, if you don't be baptized either in Jesus' name or even in the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, or it's like you have to, what, say a certain word right. when you go down the water. I mean, so they have fuss and fight over that.
Right.
Over the years, they have, the tongues have, has divided God's people. Some say, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't saved. Mm-hmm. And some say this, they're saying now that even if you speak in tongues, if it doesn't sound a certain way, you still ain't saved. So all of these things have put spiritual demarcations in the Word of God. Then some have fussed and fought over healings. They say, well, if you believe that you be healed, that God heals today, does it? Yes, God still heals today. Amen. And it's okay. Hey, if you are smitten with an illness, amen. You're okay to praise the Lord. Heal my body. Take care of this situation. But you better put God's will in that, right? Amen. Like Nicholas was saying, you know, his surgery, you know, what he had recently. I had the same thing 3 years ago. Hey, the first thing, Lord, hey, heal my body. Make sure that this surgeon got some good sleep last night. Amen. Because if somebody's going to operate, you want to make sure that what they alert. But the bottom line is that it's still God's will. Some have fallen over second coming. In other words, some people, God's people say, well, the Lord's going to come back in the middle of the tribulation. Some have fought over the fact that he's going to come back at the end of the tribulation. Well, we know the cogitation that we believe is that before the wrath of God hit this earth, he's going to take us out of here. But again, these things have divided God's people. Some have fought over dispensations. And they're saying, in fact, some have these covenant theologians. They lumped the whole Bible as one novel. And it's okay to read a book. You know, you can go out here and get a bookstore and read a book. From the beginning to the end, that's a novel. Amen. It's okay. But if you read this Bible like you read a novel from Borders Bookstore, you're going to be confused.
Yeah.
So you need to, what, divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants.
Yeah.
But the point is that has divided God's people. So all of these things, they've come and caused confusion in the body of Christ. So it's caused Christians not to get along. But there's one thing, saints, we can add to this. Now, if you think that Christians are not going to get along on these things, when you add one other thing, that is that God is sovereign and that God controls all things and that everything in your life was decreed in eternity. Now, if you think these things are going to cause you to be out here, when you begin to have this cogitation, you can be way out here. When you begin to preach and teach that men are depraved and that without God, you can't do anything. And that when you begin to have that cogitation, this will cause you to be out here in the atmosphere as far as Christendom is concerned. In fact, when you talk to people, when you go over these things many times, there may be some agreements in some of these components to some degree. But when you speak of God from eternity controls all things, and that everything was decreed by God, and that everything, your salvation was not what happened in time, it's what God did for you in eternity. I tell you, when you begin to talk like that, all of a sudden, you are out there. In fact, there was a co-worker I talked to just a few weeks ago, and it's amazing. I mean, you know, sometimes people, you can listen to them, and they can say certain things, and most God's people, you know, God has not enlightened them that much. And by the way, you should not fuss over God's people about the Bible.
Right.
Because understand that you should thank God that he's enlightening you in some, the light that you have, thank God for that.
Yeah.
And if somebody do not have the enlightenment that you have, just pray that the Lord will give them what? Enlightenment and understanding. Because if God does not give them light, why are you fussing trying to force them to receive it if God hasn't done it? Amen. But going back to this co-worker, I mean, there's a lot of parts of the Bible. She was right on. But when I began to tell Beverly that God from all times has decreed all things, you can see the blurry eyes like, what? You know, you can see that, you know, what's going on. In other words, see what happens when you say that God has determined all things. That all things were ontologized by God's eternal decree. That's when people begin to think, so wait a minute, if God controls all things, and if this situation in my family, maybe a young daughter or son is not acting right, and you may, from your viewpoint, they ain't saved. And then the bottom line, you say, well, if God controls all things, that means, well, they ain't saved anyway, so it ain't just me even praying for them. First of all, how do you know they ain't saved?
Right, yeah.
See, the problem we have is that we judge people based on what we what? Think and see. God judges based upon his eternal decree.
Yeah.
And if God were to unfold his eternal workings, people that you know, people that you heard about, if God were to unveil that to us right now, you would be totally shocked as to who is in the body of Christ.
Right.
Because you would say, what, this murderer is in the body of Christ? Yes.
Man.
This a person is doing all everything like this is in the body of Christ in terms of God's eternal decree. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knows.
That's right.
We don't know. Amen. Amen. So looking at this, because God knows all things.
All things.
And all things are what? Controlled by God's eternal decree.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't know who's saved, who's not saved, our job is just to what? Motivate people to what? To move forward in God, love people, encourage people, and that's all you can do.
Yeah,
leave the rest to God. Amen?
Right, yeah.
So God has decreed and determined all things. Why? Because God is sovereign.
Yes,
and another thing you need to understand about God's eternal workings is that man is totally depraved.
Amen.
You see, that quality that we have, that characteristic that most, that many people have is pride.
Mm-hmm.
See, pride wants to say that, well, there's something good in me.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody say, well, you did a good deed or you thought a good thought, wasn't that a good thought? Yeah, but that goodness was motivated by God.
Yeah.
There's no goodness in flesh. Man is totally depraved. In other words, a total depraved man cannot come to God. Paul said, Gospel tells that in my flesh dwelleth no good things. So if you understand that man is totally depraved, which means that man cannot approach God. Man, woman, daughter, son cannot come to God. That has to be initiated by God. And the only reason that one day you begin to think about God, you have your thoughts on everything else, and all of a sudden you begin to think about God because God energized your spirit. God calls you to think about him. And this thing, depravity. If you understand that people are depraved, then you can look at situations and say, well, what do you expect depraved people to do? But thank God, God, in spite of depravity, God still controls all things.
Oh,
you can look at situations. Some of you may have heard, even this past week, I don't know what state it was, but somebody went into a church and killed the pastor, and I think killed two deacons. Happened this way, saints. And see, the first thing, because people do not understand the workings of God, I guarantee you, most people in Christendom, they would say, wait a minute, that a person that did that wasn't saved, and maybe the church was preaching a bad doctrine, and God has caused them to lose their pastor. What caused that? Depravity. What caused, in fact, in the news recently, this wife, a woman married to a pastor, killed her husband, who was a pastor, shot him graveyard dead. Now, somebody said, oh, she wasn't saved. I believe she was a secretary in the church. And people said, well, she wasn't saved. How do you know?
Right.
In fact, people said, wait a minute. Anybody that kills, they ain't saved. Well, I tell you what, based upon that, you're saying that Moses wasn't saved? Moses murdered somebody. Hello?
Right.
You're saying that David wasn't saved? David murdered somebody.
Right.
You're saying that Paul wrote, God gave the revelation of mystery. So you say Paul said I was a murderer. So you're saying Paul wasn't saved. So in testimony, in looking at God's people in time have been liars, murderers, stealing and everything. And we're not glorifying these things, but we're letting you know that apart from God, you will do anything.
Amen.
In fact, in Bible class.
Come on, y'all.
In Bible class. Mm-hmm. Friday. This past Friday, Pastor made a statement. I kind of laughed, but it was so serious. That Pastor, you know, if God did not put the clamps on your depravity, if God did not hold back that depravity, if God said, right now, I'm going to lift depravity, you know, right now, we'll kill everybody here. Dick, you probably be the first one I shoot. If God, I'm just saying, the only reason I say that is because he's closer to me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying, you'll be doing everything. You're talking about people raping and killing now. You better, somebody's been looking at all this bad stuff now. God is still holding back depravity.
Amen.
Because if God did not hold it back, we will not survive who knows how long it'll be. And we'll get some insight and some enlightenment on this. You go to, Jesus made a statement, I believe, in Matthew 24. And he was pointing to that future time when God is going to allow Israel, and by the way, relax, because that's not the body of Christ. God's going to allow Israel to go through a 7-year, tribulation period.
Right.
Notice, and Jesus, when he looked to that time, Jesus said, unless God will shorten those days,
Amen.
There shall no flesh be saved.
Amen.
In other words, when you read tribulation, over there in Revelation, when you read about what? I mean, you're looking at people dying now. I mean, it's like, say, understand, right now, they're saying like 1/3, 2/3 of the people that are going to die during a 7-year period. Can you imagine you read a newspaper and one day 10 million people got wiped out. Next day, 30 million wiped out. In other words, God will get, that gives us some insight to when God allows, removes his hand off a nation, a society, or a people, people will destroy himself. But even at that time, God still has control, because God said it's going to be a 7-year period.
Yes.
Because God in his work is new, that if God would carry that thing out longer, the society would be wiped out.
I hear you.
So the key is this. If you know that man is totally depraved, then you know the good news is that a totally depraved man, it can only depend upon God, because we were all dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, when he loved us, and you were loved before the foundation of the world. Amen. Long introduction. Let's say amen. Let's go to Ephesians. Amen.
Amen.
Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We're going to go right with Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with, let's read verse, we're going to look at verse 3, but let's read verse 1 through 3, and when you read the whole verse 1 through 3 in the King James Version, and read, when you go to the Greek text, read verse 3 in the Greek. Amen. Trust everyone has. Again, I repeat, we're going to read Ephesians, we're going to read 1 through 3 in the King James Version, and then we will read verse 3 in the Greek, because that's the verse we're going to exegete and look at today. Amen.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
How many of you know that you are blessed today? You are not trying to be blessed. You're not trying to get blessed, because that's a future connotation. You are already blessed.
Already.
If you are a member in the body of Christ,
yes.
Amen, you have been blessed.
Yes.
And blessed, that is past tense.
Right.
I tell you, we can look into that deeper. Let's go to this Greek first. Now we can look at, for those that have the Greek text, we're going to look at verse 3 in the Greek. Amen.
Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, interlineal Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Amen. Notice it says, every blessing spiritual, you have already been blessed. That hath blessed. God has already doing it. God is not going to do it. God has already done it. And if you looking at this deeper, church, there is more security in having done it than going to do it. Because you can just look at same things in the natural. Somebody could say, Johnny, I am going to give you $10,000 next week. Well, his intention may be good, but 1,000 things can happen between now and next week that will cause him not to give you what? That $10,000. But at the same time, if somebody said, look, Johnny, I have put $10,000 in your checking account at Comerica Bank, Rosemary. It's already done. Why is that more security? Something that's going to be or something that's already has?
Already.
God has already saved you.
Yes.
Or God is going to save you.
Already.
And a lot of God's people are caught up with bondage because they're saying, you know, because the preachers, what they're meant to talk, God will save you. When you get rid of this and that, the lipstick, when you get rid of John and get rid of Jane, or you do this or you do that, you do this, then God will save you. And knowing that that person, if they're God's elect, they are already saved. Already saved before the foundation of the world in eternity. No qualifications. Or you can say the only qualification is that God chose you. That's it. Because if God hadn't chose you, you'd forget it. You would never, if God hadn't chose you in eternity, forget about but trying to get saved in time. And that's the problem there. God's people out here beating people over the head, trying to force them to be saved. And the first of all, two problems there. You may be trying to force somebody that may be already God's elect. And you're trying to force a dead man that ain't God's elect. So you got two problems. And you try, first of all, you try to beat somebody over the head, try to believe what you believe. If they are not God's elect, forget it. And if they are God's elect, amen. That's God's business. So you cannot force nobody to, in fact, you can't force nobody to do right. Amen. Here now, you've got a grown person that's grown, amen, have their own mindset, and you're going to try. And that's okay. Now, we should motivate people in terms of what? The right way to go, but in terms of forcing somebody, forget it. So you're trying to force depravity to do right. Forget it. So, saints, look at here. So that word blessed that D just read, that is a Greek adjective meaning high praise. That word blessed means high praise. And who's the high praise to? Now, if you look at the exegesis of this, the high praise is to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. You have been blessed. You're not here. You got God's people trying to run around here, and you got all these workshops and these seminars that people, they're trying to run, trying to get a blessing. Knowing that you already blessed. And the Greek adjective, blessed, is derived from the compound words meaning to speak well of here. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying here, blessed the Father. He's speaking well of the Father for what purpose? All the praises to God goes for what purpose? God receives all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For what purpose? The purpose is this. He has favored you, his elect, to be benefactors of God's grace. The bottom line is that our blessings are the direct result of God's eternal decree. And if God has decreed that you are blessed, then you are blessed. If God has decreed that you are saved, then you are saved. If God has decreed that you are sanctified, then you are sanctified. And all that means is what's set apart. That's all that means. Understand, you are sanctified. Do you know? See, you see how God, most how God's people think? You talk to most people. You talk to most Christians. And they say, what church do you attend? I attend the Grace Gospel Church. And you say, and by the way, this is a sanctified church. Do y'all know this is a sanctified church? Yeah. Why? This church is what you see, what? Sanctification is what? The set apart ones. But now, because of the way people thought, they would think. When you think of a sanctified church, Gavin, they'll say, wait a minute. They'll think of where all the ladies here, they have their dresses to the floor, right? Yeah. No lipstick, none of that. In other words, that's their mind. If you are sanctified, there has to be some visual what? A reason why they feel you should be sanctified. And if you do not fit that criteria, you're not sanctified.
Right. That's so true.
Knowing that sanctification is a spiritual term. It's not a physical term. It's a spiritual term.
Yeah.
I remember my wife was at a just church. I ain't calling names. They make a villain. We're going to end that. I don't know who may hear it. But this year at this church, right? And they had their belief system about what being saved.
Yeah.
And so the other church right down the street, and when she mentioned that name, the first day they told her, Sister Karen, she's one of those saved saints at XYZ Church. Uh-huh. In other words, their mindset, because they had their connotation on what saved means, that because she went to the other church, amen, they said she's one of those saved saints. What they're saying is that the other ones were not saved because they did not fit their criteria.
Right.
Knowing that, hallelujah, that salvation is a spiritual term. Sanctification is a spiritual term. Justification is a spiritual term. Adoption is a spiritual term. All of these terms, justification, the faithfulness of God, everything that you cannot see in the spiritual realm, these are spiritual terms. And things that we can see. Things that we see are temporary. Things that we can't see are eternal. Amen. When this heaven and earth is going to pass away, hallelujah, there's no earthquake, there's no flood, there's no disease that can destroy sanctification, adoption, propitiation, all the things in time that's ever happened since God gave Paul the revelation of the mystery. Everything that you can imagine has happened for the past 2,000 years, but sanctification is still here. Justification is still here. Adoption is still here. Your position in Christ is still here. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are saved forever because God decreed that you would be saved before the foundation of the world. So, if understanding this, verse 3, you are blessed. Security. You are blessed. God was the sole initiator of our salvation. Because he dwelt alone in eternity. He has blessed us. That's an aorist participle, saints. As aorist tense, past completed action. A participle is a verb, an adjective. God, it describes. It's describing who is the blesser. God has blessed you when? In eternity. And God decreed the initial blessing. It is impossible for a sinner. See, here's the key. It is impossible for a sinner who is clothed in depravity to praise God apart from God providing the initiative.
All right.
And that is the problem that a lot of theologians have. They feel, see, you have to understand, the sovereignty of God runs synonymous with the depravity of man. Because understand, if people do not believe, saints, in depravity, total depravity. Now, most people believe that man is what, sinful. They believe that. But what they believe that in some part of man, there's some good. And that good, God can tap into that good part of man. And then that good part of man can what? Initiate faith. And then God can save him. But if you know that you are 100% depraved and you cannot come to God except that God energizes your spirit, then God gets all the praise, honor, and glory. So depravity, total depravity, is synonymous with the sovereignty of God. Because if you believe that there's some good thing, you see, it's amazing how God's workings. We are nothing, but yet we are everything. You are nothing as far as depraved flesh, right? There's no good thing in the flesh. Amen. But yet you're everything because you are saved. You're everything because you're in Christ. He's the head, you're the body. I'm sorry. Amen. He's the head, yeah, you're in a glorious body. So you are clothed in Christ. So we are everything in Christ. We are not within this depraved flesh. One day God, now if to give testimony to the value of the flesh, do you know one day this flesh is going to be what? The Bible says dissolved. But see, that word was not strong enough. If you look at it in the original, it really means destroyed. One day God is going to what? Destroy this flesh. It's going to one day be destroyed and via your glorified body. Amen. And by the way, if you look at God's eternal workings, if you're already blessed, then you're already glorified.
Already.
You, if you look at God's eternal workings, you're already sanctified.
Yeah.
You're already justified.
Yeah.
You know, in those workings of God, Paul also put glorified. He did not say you are one day going to be glorified. He said you are already glorified. And so I said, preacher, what do you mean I'm glorified? What are you talking about? I got this. I got my arthritis. I did a certain surgery. All this stuff. My hair's gray. What do you mean I'm already glorified? Because in the decree of God, it's already done. You need to understand, when is a thing ontologized, or when does a thing come to being?
Right.
A thing comes to being when it's perceived by God.
Right.
When you perceive it, it did not come into being then, it was only manifested. So when you got, when you in your mind, you ask most people, when did you get saved? You know what they tell you? Oh, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And, it, you know, nothing basically wrong with that statement, because what they're saying, I came into what? An enlightenment of salvation. But see, they're looking at their enlightenment as initiation, but their enlightenment is only manifestation. They were saved before the foundation of the world. God just gave you an enlightenment of that 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And that enlightenment could have come through any source. It could have come through radio, through TV, through the internet, through you reading the word, through someone witnessing to you. That enlightenment could have come anyway. And by the way, God has different processes of enlightenment to his elect. Because if you were to give a spiritual inventory of everyone in here, yeah, I would more than likely, all of you, God use a different process of enlightenment to let you know what he did for you. But that enlightenment was not your salvation.
No.
That enlightenment was only revelation. Anything that happens in time is only manifestation. And preaching is a process of time. So preaching, the purpose of preaching is to bring revelation. And you tell me, people will hang you graveyard dead if you tell them that the preaching of Jesus Christ does not save.
That's right. Bring it out.
God saved you before preaching was even on the scene.
Yeah.
Now we're not minimizing. Thank God for preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But see, if you don't have this, you're going to get all messed up in your thinking. Because you'll see that if nobody would not come and preach the gospel, that person ain't saved. The preaching of the gospel brings revelation, brings insight, brings knowledge to what God did for you.
Yeah. Make it plain, make it crystal.
Man, I was out here living like Wild Bill for years. And man, the thinking I mean, Wild Bill, hey. Hey, I ain't gonna take that one, hey. And I'm saying, brother, and here, the thing I had, God rescue Wild Bill. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Because, Lord, if you hadn't done it, I would have bust hell wide open.
I hear you.
Why? Because my thinking was that what? Here was Wild Bill going to hell.
Yeah.
Over here, God saved Wild Bill. Now I'm going to heaven. Not knowing that Wild Bill was always saved before the foundation of the world. You try to sweat people to get saved. They may be saved in eternity, and you try to do this and do that. Understand that the workings of God salvation is of the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're trying to do all this stuff.
Yes,
let God handle his business.
Yes,
Amen. So, blessing is a Greek noun. We still exegesis verse 3 again. Blessing, the word blessing, that's a Greek noun referring to every individual blessing, every benefit spiritual. In other words, what are these benefits? If you're looking at the exegesis in verse 3, he chose us before the foundation of the world. Thank you. You know what? That is so much security. There is so much security. You see, what happens is this. If you keep salvation in the eternal realm, in the realm of what God has already done, it can prevent a lot of problems. It answers a lot of questions. Because for years, things happen, and all of a sudden people say or think, oh, if this happened another way, then so many people got saved. You remember, some of y'all may remember, some time ago they had that earthquake that hit, I think, Argentina. 100,000 people wiped out. Well, in some parts of this area, it was reported that only 1% of the people believe even in the gospel. And all of a sudden the Christian community was saying that, oh, if God had sent some preachers over there and preached this gospel, and first of all, if it wasn't for God's decree to send them out, they were going anyway. See, even if you look at preaching, God decrees where preachers go. And see, look at some of these nations that have never heard. They've never heard the name of Jesus in terms of preaching. And for years, people think, the thinking is that it seems so unfair that what? People get to have the opportunity to be saved, but they die and go to hell because no one what? Preached what? The gospel to them. But you see, election solves all of that because those 100,000 people that perished, hallelujah, God knows those that are his and those that were saved before the foundation of the world, even though some of them left this world never hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were still saved if they were chosen in eternity. So, our gospel clears up a lot of problems. He chose us. He put us in to put another benefit in the blessing that Paul says in verse 3. He chose us to a position of what? Sonship. You are son and daughter of God. God, through working, he's given you the only God. He's taken a depraved, a sinful a creature, taking them from the lowest degree of depravity into the highest position of sonship. Number 3, he positioned us to be heirs of God according to his purpose and will. In other words, you are an heir of God. You're not going to be an heir. You are already an heir. You're also sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed. You are sealed. That means that if you are sealed, that means that God did the sealing. You are sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. Now, the spiritual, the invisible, the unseen, the eternal things are in stark contrast to the emphasis on the physical blessings in the other dispensations. I repeat, our gospel, saints, understand, our gospel, the spiritual, the invisible, the unseen, the eternal things in our gospel, it's in direct contrast to the emphasis on the physical blessings in the other dispensations. That is why another thing, when you read this Bible, it's critical to stay in your gospel. Stay in your contract. Because when you stay in your gospel, then you can, those 14 epistles of Paul, that is what? Those letters are written to you. The other parts of the Bible, they are written for you, but they are not written to you. And see, the problem that a lot of God's people have, they have the mindset that the whole Bible is written to them. And if the whole Bible is written to you, if you feel that the whole Bible is written to you, then you are going to, excuse the expression, you're going to be doing a lot of dumb stuff. And a lot of God's people are doing some dumb stuff because they're looking at the Bible that what? That the whole Bible is written what? To them. Our gospel is written what? To you. The whole Bible is written for you. In fact, we can say two things. Our gospel, our contract is written for you and it's written to you. Amen. It's for your edification. It's for your exhortation. It's for your comfort. But you need to understand that the other parts of the Bible, there's a physical focus. Our gospel is a spiritual focus. And when you understand it, that is why when you go into the other parts of the Bible, you're going to see what? The focus on the healings, the miracles, the tongues, everything that you, many things that you can feel, see, and touch, and connect with, that is the design of the other parts of the Bible. So the problem is that when you grab the other parts of the Bible and say, this is yours, then, first of all, if you're going to take one part of it, you better take the whole part. The full thing. You cannot, it's amazing. God's people just picking and choosing and just, they take this, they pull it out there. No, if you're going to pull something out of the other Bible, out of the other parts of the Bible, pull the whole thing out. And when you take the whole thing, you probably say, I better put this down. This does, I don't want this. I better put this down. It irritates me when God's people, they jump over there and do the Romans, chapter, I believe, 28. And they go over there to verse 14. Oh, blessed, blessed, blessed. Read the whole Bible. And the whole thing says, God sent 14 verses talking about the blessings. There were 65 verses talking about the curses.
I hear you.
That's right.
And God's people everywhere, they want to focus, look over there. And so if you want Deuteronomy 28, you better take the whole thing. Amen. Amen. If you want to focus on Jesus' writings, you say, well, no, I'm going to do what Jesus said. Now, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Well, if you're going to do like Jesus said, if you're going to do everything Jesus said, but get ready to go through the tribulation. Hello. Because in that time, God's elect are going to go through the tribulation. So somebody say, oh, when they read Jesus' writings, oh, they love the part where Jesus raised the dead, where he cast out devils, where he laid hands on the sick. Oh, I love that. But then Jesus said, okay, come with me through the tribulation. You go, oh, I don't want that. No, take the whole thing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because if you read Jesus' writings, there are a whole lot of things that Jesus said that it's not applied to you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So that thing, the writings of our gospel, that is the key. Our gospel, stay in your contract.
Yeah.
Now we're going to corroborate one thing. Mm-hmm. Let's corroborate, since we're talking about what Jesus said, let's go to John. You know, we're going to corroborate one thing that Jesus said in John that's going to give us some more insight to the sovereignty of God and the fact that God did everything in eternity by his eternal decree. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Amen. Now, this is Jesus talking. I believe most of you Bibles probably read, right? Amen. 19. I believe this. Let's look at verse 30. Jesus, let's read that in the King James, and then we'll read it in the Greek. John chapter 19, verse 30. Does everyone have it? Okay, good.
John chapter 19, verse 30, King James Version. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
Now, Jesus, now we know the story here. Jesus was crucified. Amen. And when he, see, if you get salvation right, a lot of you are going through, by the way, a lot. If we were to do an assessment, everyone in here is going through something. Can we say amen to that, saints?
Amen.
Everyone in here is going through something. Whether it's with a loved one, with a child, a job situation, your body, family, whatever. Everyone is going through something.
I hear you.
Now, here's a problem. Understand the problem that a lot of people have. They're saying, preacher, why deal with justification? Why deal with adoption? Why deal with all these unseen things? I'm going through this thing right now. In other words, they point to something physical. Understand that if you have the proper enlightenment to the eternal workings of God, it will make sense to what you're going through right now. But if you have the wrong enlightenment to the eternal workings of God, you'll be more confused in your situation.
I hear you.
Right.
And the workings of God is to bring enlightenment and understanding. And that enlightenment will move from the eternal realm and it'll move down and affect everything that you're going through in time.
Yeah, I hear you. Yes, sir.
And the reason men of God's people are confused in time, because they are confused about the eternal workings of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you clear up a lot of issues that you may have in the spiritual realm, it'll clear up a lot of issues that you're going through in time.
Absolutely.
You cannot separate eternity from time. Because God created everything. See, one thinking is that we have, here's eternity, and then God created time. We know that God did. And somehow some people think that when God created time, that cut off eternity. No. God created in this time capsule, God is going to one day get rid of time. But this time capsule is for manifestation only and is still a part of God's eternal workings. But this time is still linked with eternity, because everything that manifests in time originated in the decree of God. Everything. So look at Jesus here. Did you read it? Okay. Are you ready? You read King James?
Yeah.
Okay, let's read it. We're going to read this, saints, in the Greek text, okay?
John 19, verse 30, in a linear Greek text. When therefore took the vinegar, Jesus, he said, it has been finished.
No.
And inclining the head, delivered up the spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus.
See the problem? Notice the King James brother. They said what? It is finished. They read that again. I think, let's read it one more time.
Uh-huh. When therefore took the vinegar, Jesus, he said, it has been finished. And inclining the head, delivered up the spirit.
In other words, Saint, Jesus said, it has been finished. The King James, see, they had the present tense.
Mm-hmm.
It has been past tense.
Yeah.
In other words, let's break this down further. What has finished? In other words, Jesus gave up the spirit. That is in the indicative moods of fact. It has been finished, a fact. It was imperfect tense.
Mm-hmm.
Passive voice.
Mm-hmm.
Third person singular. In other words, it was done to Jesus. But the literal meaning is, it was, and it is. It is because it was. It is finished because it was finished. You are saved because you were saved. You are sanctified because you were sanctified. You are because you were. You, everything you are going through now, you are because God has already decreed it.
Yes.
So the question, what is the it? He said, it is finished. And when was it ontologized? And by the way, that's another word, came into being. In other words, when did Jesus' death, when did it come into being? Somebody said, well, it's simple. It came into being 2,000 years ago. See, that's the problem that people have, because what happens, see, if you put salvation in time, you're going to put everything you're going through in time. See, all of a sudden, you can wake up tomorrow, and I pray this doesn't happen, but somebody, life will throw you a curveball, something you did not expect. You thought that, let's say something tomorrow is the 20th. You think that situation, whatever, let's say, well, you know, some of God's people somewhere are going to wake up tomorrow with some kind of disaster. They're thinking that thing initiated August 20th. Whatever that happened, it was ontologized in God's decree, and there was nothing they could have done about it. It was decreed. But if you understand salvation, you understand so many other things. Because when was Jesus' death decreed? When did he die? It was ontologized. Well, since we're in John, John said Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was already done. It was done. He was crucified 2,000 years ago because he was crucified in eternity.
Right.
He died on the cross. 2,000 years ago, he was what? Beaten. He was what? Hung on a tree. Died. Rose again. That all happened. That the manifestation of God's workings happened 2,000 years ago. But it was decreed that the way he would die would be, it was decreed in eternity. That is why now when you look at the workings of God, you see now you can look at how God works today, saints, and it'll give more light. You go into our gospel, it'll give more light even now when you read the other parts of the Bible. Now, if you notice, when Jesus died, you know they got mad with Jesus for preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I mean, they got mad, and when he wanted to say, when Jesus began to preach that, now they got mad with him enough for preaching that, healing the sick, feeding the thousands. They didn't like that. But when he started to say that, I'm God.
Yeah.
I mean, they got so mad that either they wanted to pull him off the cliff. They tried to do everything they could to kill Jesus. But it was the way they tried, it was no way you can die that way because God had already decreed how it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was already decreed that he was going to die on the cross.
Yeah.
So what God told Isaiah, the way he would die, it had to be that way because it was decreed.
Right, man.
The map that God has for your life has to be that way because it was decreed. The road that you are going to take it right now, it has to be that way because that's the way it was decreed.
I hear you. Glory
to God. That sickness in your body, it has to be that way because that was the way it was decreed.
I hear you. Amen.
That negative in your checking account, it has to be that way because that's the way it was decreed.
I hear you. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
Now, see, people here, and don't take this workings and just lose all common sense, amen? Because many times you read this, and they'll say, well, based on this, if all things are decreed, I call Christ tomorrow and say, listen, I'm out here for a month, I'm on a vacation. They say, what? Now I'm out of here, because all things are decreed, so hey, wait a minute, you better read your contract. So you do that dumb thing, lose a job. Well, you say, was that decree? Well, I can say, I go along with that, but it was also decreed that if you don't work, you ain't going to eat nothing. See? So you look at the whole thing. So I'm saying, so you don't take what? The things of God. Amen. Somebody say, well, you man to pray, so I can go to, so hey, I can go to bed and leave my door open. No, you better lock that bad boy, because hey, if man is to pray, right? So, amen. So, that's because man is depraved. You don't lose all common sense. Lock that door because men are depraved.
Hallelujah.
And if that depraved man going to go to a neighborhood where there are locked doors and yours are open, I guarantee it's God's doing. He's going to go to yours first because it's easy. Amen. So, in the workings of God, amen, you lose common sense. Amen.
I hear you.
So,
come on, preacher.
What? The workings of God. God decrees all things. You are only here as a result of God's eternal working. So we'll close out on this. We'll close out on this thought. Everything that you go through in life, we have to look at it from the eternal realm. And if you look at the fact that God had everything worked out in eternity. If God had everything worked out in eternity, which was the deeper workings of God, you know he's going to work out everything in time.
I hear you.
And by the way, not he's going to, he already has.
I hear you.
And if you understand the workings of God, then you can see that it's not about you, but it's about what God has purposed for your life. But what God has purposed for your life is started in the eternal realm. It was actualized in the decree of God. And everything that happens in time. See, that's what Paul, you know, some Paul's writings, he dealt with a lot of the things. He dealt with things in time in terms of marriages, in terms of situations, you know, saints taking a brother and sister to court. He dealt with a lot of things. Right, it was, you know, hey, people still to pray then, right? Hey, so, by the way, when you see these things, understand, people have always been depraved. So the same problems that Paul had, people got them today. But he didn't start out beating the saints over the head and say, y'all, hey, get it right. What's wrong with y'all? He always does encouragement. Grace and peace to you. God loves you. You're special. He gave information. In other words, before he gave the imperative command to do this and that, you give the indicative, or not give the information. And the information was that you are a member in the body of Christ, that God loves you, you are special, that God had everything worked out before the foundation of the world. He gave the information first. And then it would seem like he shifted gears and talked about the things, what, in terms from a more practical level, but he started out with the information in terms of who they are. Even that carnal bunch of Corinthians, Paul, even then, in spite of their carnal church, everything you can imagine is going through that church, Paul still focused on who they were in Christ. Right. Now, this was a carnal bunch, and Paul, in Corinthians, he said, but you are what? Sanctified. You are justified. You are righteous. In that same book, he said, Jesus Christ is made unto you righteousness and sanctification and adoption. He told them who they were in Christ. That is why a church, the best way to build up the saints spiritually is to focus on who they are in Christ. Your position in Christ, your essential position. God has saved you. He loved you. He trusts you. You are sanctified. You are adopted. I mean, take that and dwell that in God's people. And you know, it's amazing. When they focus on that, it almost like the other things just kind of fall in place. But if you come beating God's people over the head and say, okay, cut this out, cut it out, cut that. I mean, in fact, some churches, you're going to go there for a whole album. It's don't. Now you're here, you got a depraved creature and you're saying don't. And they're going to do.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to close on this. History gives testimony. You know, history is a great teacher. You know, it's amazing. Have you thought about this? God gave Moses the commandments. And Moses gave the commandments to his people. And they followed them for a season. But how many times did the Bible tell us that they went right back to their what? And got to their same ways. Now, let me ask you a question. Did that catch God by surprise? No. Because the commandments were not designed to keep. That the commandments came to let people know how depraved they were. And that's what Jesus said. That's the whole essence of our the kingdom gospel. You tried the commandments, it didn't work. Now look at me. That's the whole message of the kingdom gospel. He said, I am the one. And he kept every iota of the law. And because man could not keep it, they were to identify with Jesus, who kept the full essence of the law because he was God in the flesh. They couldn't keep it, so he said, look to me. We in ourselves can't do anything, but thank God we are in Christ. We are part of his body. We are something God did something for you that he never did for Abraham. He never did for Isaac. He never did for Jacob. He never did for Jeremiah. God did something for you that he never did for the kingdom apostles.
Right, right.
Now, somebody say, you must be crazy preaching because you mean, wait a minute, you mean God did something for you? Yes, because number one, the kingdom apostles, yes, they are going to be part of that kingdom gospel, that new Jerusalem that God's going to bring down to the earth. And God's going to rule through Israel, the capital of Jerusalem. Right. But understand that those people, that all Peter, James, and John, and all of them, they are part of the kingdom, messianic kingdom gospel. That God did more for you by placing you in his body. You are part of God himself. This was a revelation that was not known in it before the foundation of the world, that God would take a depraved sinner and put him and make him a part of his body. And that was. And God did it. Because it was so special. The workings of God was so special that God kept it. It kept it hidden. It was a message that was unknown. A hidden message. And that, what was that message? That, I tell you what, let me close up. We got three minutes. Let's go to Ephesians. We'll close out on this verse. Amen. What was that message? Let's go to Ephesians. That in the dispensation of fullness of times. Yeah, that's Ephesians chapter 3. That in the dispensation of the... Yes, Ephesians 1. We're going to close on this. 1 and 10. Here's what God had for you. Ephesians 1:10. Yes, King James, yeah. We close on this.
Ephesians chapter.
Let's go to verse 9, dude. Let's begin in verse 9.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10.
Yes.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
Having made known unto us, who saints? Who's the us? The body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
God, he's not going to. He has done it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Uh-huh.
According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.
Mm-hmm.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him.
And in other words, he has this in the fullness of times, mm-hmm. that God might gather together in one all things in Christ, mm-hmm. both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In this dispensation, what dispensation? The dispensation that we're living in right now, saints, the grace dispensation, in closing,
yes.
This was a dispensation that was hidden, mm-hmm. that God had Gentiles for the most part. Now, by the way, there's a small remnant of Jews, because Romans 11:5 tells that there are remnant of Jews are elected according to the election of grace, but primarily that God had dead, dog Gentiles. Who he had no workers with in prior generation as a policy. There have been always Gentiles saved in other dispensations, but as a policy, God had no workers but in workings dealing with the Gentiles. But in this dispensation, God elected you as a member in his glorious body. What great news to know that one day that my life was not an accident, that I just didn't one day wake up and being born and going through, struggling through life. That God has a plan for your life, and somebody said, but suppose I do not want that plan that God has for my life. Well, that's the good thing about it. God controls all things. And whatever God has for you, it has to come to pass. It has to. Somebody said, you know, all things. He controls all things. And in closing, isn't it wonderful to know that the mistakes that you make, and by the way, if you pray, you're going to be making some mistakes, but some mistakes you make, God allows those mistakes to make. Why? God allows depravity to manifest. And some mistakes you make, God can block it. And that is why, you see, you understand these things? You understand things in time. How many of you were going a certain way and all of a sudden, bam, it's like the brakes. God said, no. Why? God put a clamp on that thing. And then all of a sudden, you thought you were going one way, and all of a sudden God took you to another way. God what? God controls all things. That is why one day you wake up and you pray, you fast, and we know the knowledge we have now, you know, you don't fast to get God to do anything. Amen. Pray, nothing happens. And the other day you wake up and bam! It's what? It was all things are decreed. When you look at the eternal workings of God, you can rest into assure that God controls all things. And any of God's people that go through life and believing that God does not control all things, those people are going to be very insecure because there's some things out there they say God has no control of. But if you understand that God controls all things and that all things work by the God's decree, and then you can sleep good night because you can focus on our gospel. And the more we focus on our gospel, we should have the internal motivation to realize that the desire, the motivation, the insight should give us more insight that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.
Hallelujah. 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 Give God a hand, praise. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.